Now, the summer is here and the weather has picked up. Do you fancy taking up a new sport? Well, there are many to choose from, but have you ever thought about the sport of blind archery? Well, is it even a sport that someone with little or no sight can enjoy and take part in? Well, the short answer is yes. And I'm joined now by blind archer Stuart Rogers and also by archery coach Rick Smith. Hello to you both.
Hello
there. Hello, Simon.
Nice to get you. And first of all, Stuart, I mean, you've been doing quite well in the last year, haven't you, competition-wise?
I've been to Andorra twice. I've come back with a bronze medal each time. And France, I went over to Nantes in France and come back with silver.
Is it quite a competitive sport?
We are looking for more VI archers, but the more we can get, the bigger the competitions can get. Like, there is World Championships and the Europeans. Last year, I qualified to shoot for Team GB over in Beijing, but unfortunately, the competition never went ahead for the my category, B1, because there wasn't enough countries that actually entered.
Oh, that's a pity. Tell us a little bit more about the categories then. B1, what is that? Is that fully blind?
B1 is completely blind, and you even have to wear a blackout, like sunglasses, just to make it like a level playing field sort of thing. And I use what they call a tactile sight system, which is it's a gadget that's on top of a camera tripod, and the back of your hand goes, like, touches that, and that makes sure that you're pointing towards the right target. And on the floor, I have what they call foot locators that is sellotape to the floor. If you're outdoors, it's pinned to the floor by using tent pegs, and you sort of like back yourself into it and your coat or your spot to make sure you're standing correctly, and you take aim, shoot with the tactile sight, and then you can either move away from the shooting line, knowing that when you come back to do your next end, you're in exactly the same position as you shot last time.
Yeah, it gives you some continuity. So there's other categories then as well for those that are partially sighted, I take it?
Yes, there is. There's a partially sighted class is B2 and 3. They've can use the tactile system just as like I do, but they've got just that little bit more vision. They can probably see the red outline of the target or the white, and that's 2 and 3. And then you've got B4, which is open, so they could be blind in one eye. They might have tunnel vision or so on, and they don't use like tactile systems or a sighting system. They just use like a normal bow.
Now, I've tried to shoot one of these arrows before in the past a few times, and I found it very difficult. What actually drew you to archery?
I moved to the county of Lincolnshire sort of 5 years ago, and I used to do air rifle shooting for the blind as well, and I couldn't actually find a club that was close enough for me to go. So I looked on the internet and I come across LADAC, Louthan District Disabled Archery Club. I phoned up Derek and explained to him that I'd like to have a go at doing archery and I'm actually completely blind. And he said, no problem, come down, we've got the equipment here for you to shoot. And, well, I haven't looked back since. That's 3 years later, and Rick, who's with me, he's actually got me up doing international shooting. We travel all over the country, sort of like shooting competitions, and I've got a cabinet full of trophies. And I never ever thought you know, no one would trust me with a bow and arrows. And Rick is the one that sort of like, he's the one that does like my eyes. He tells me where the arrow goes, if my arrow's upside down, because there's a certain way you got to place an arrow onto a bow and make sure, it, you know, I'm safe around other archers, really.
So, Rick, you're actually an archer in your own right, because you've had quite a lot of success as well, haven't you, in the past?
That's right. Yeah, I've been shooting some, for 20-odd years, maybe more, and all over the world, America and Germany. And as family situation sort of made it clear that I needed to be closer to home, I thought, well, I'll have to have something else to while my time away, I'd take up coaching. And sort of back in 2014, the challenge was to get me qualification as a coach, but our head coach, Derek Berman, turned around and said, well, there's a challenge for you. This guy can't see. And we haven't looked back. You know, it's been a good experience.
You're like Stuart's Mr. Miyagi.
A bit like that, yeah. you start off sort of showing him how to stand, pick up the bow, how to load the bow, and shoot.
Because it's quite a physical thing, though, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah. The way the visually impaired see is through tactile, you know, touch.
Mm-hmm.
And as a coach, we have to learn how to differentiate, how to recognise things by feel ourselves, then pass it on to the archer.
Yeah, it's a real kind of, there's a trust there and a communication, isn't there?
Oh, yes, very much so. If there is any sort of mistrust, you get that apprehension or fear as, you know, or I can't do this because I'm not so sure that my eyes are working, like, you know, thinking about the guy who's what we call the spotter, the one standing behind, pointing them in the right direction.
As a sighted person, though, did it impress you, the fact that somebody like Stuart with no sight could actually be so accurate?
Yeah, of course. It's inspirational. But so long as he learns the actual routine of how to stand and load the bow, it will come naturally. And all we have to do then is hone his skills.
Well, you've been doing very well with that so far. But I believe, though, that there is an issue about funding when it comes to archery, isn't
it? Oh, yes. Funding is a major problem. Like many sports nowadays, they're not recognised as Olympic sports. Therefore, sponsors are very difficult to find because they don't get anything back in the view of sort of recognition. You know, whereas the able body can go off and do football or mainline sports, which go into the Olympics, and they come back with nice medals and everything and plenty of publicity on the television. The sponsors then will get a great deal of visual feedback, whereas sports such as the VIs, there's no sort of coverage by the media. So, you know, you just don't get that interest to get the sponsorship.
Right. Well, Stuart, you're going to have to come up with some gimmick to get yourself really noticed.
I'm going to have to do something. I've wrote quite a few letters, you know, asking for, like, well, asking if I can get funding. And luckily, I've got one person that's actually got back to me. He actually replied today, and they're going to let me know next week, because I'm off. Hopefully, I'm going to the Czech Republic in August, if I can get the funding, to shoot for Team GB. So I'm looking forward to that. But as for a gimmick, I'll probably do, I don't know, rock climbing or something like that for charity, I suppose.
Mind you, you're doing all right, because, am I right, you're a Disabled Sportsperson of the Year 2017?
Yes, I was. That was quite a big experience. The following year before that, I was a runner-up, and at the 17, it was quite an experience. I was quite shell-shocked.
Yeah. Have you made a lot of new friends doing this then?
I would suggest to any person that's listening that's visually impaired, the best thing they can do is find themselves a sports club. Maybe it might be football, swimming, archery, goalball. Just go to and find your local club. And because sports is not only just picking up a bow or kicking a ball. It's sort of like socialising. I've made many friends. You know, it's just lovely just to go out and chat to people. You know, sometimes we may not even shoot. I might just sit there with the others and have a nice, good old talk and a laugh and a joke. So, yeah, anybody listening, I would recommend any kind of sport, and, you know, it will turn your life around. It certainly has me. It's 5 years ago, I would never have dreamed of sort of like doing archery, let alone going on a plane on my own with, you know, another friend and that. It's just, sports has done so much for me. It's unbelievable.
Oh, it's fantastic to hear that. And I can hear by the way you're saying it has meant so much for you. We're running a little bit short of time, but what's ahead of you this year? Because you're hoping to get some funds to do some more competitions, aren't you?
Yes, just quickly, I'm hoping to get funding for the Czech Republic, which is a European status. And the main one is the World Champions is coming up in June next year, which is going to be three more qualifications. So even though I qualify for the Republic one, the Czech Republic one, I have to do it all again to get qualified for the next year's event of Holland. Yes, it's Holland. So it's this year I might qualify, but next year I may not. So it just depends on how well I shoot at the time.
It's certainly been lovely to chat with both of you. I wish you the best for this year and years to come, and hopefully we'll see you at the next Olympics.
Oh, that'd be great if you could. So I'll try my best.
Stuart Rogers and Rick Smith, it's been a pleasure chatting with you. Thank you very much for joining us.
All right, thank you very much indeed.
Thank you very much.